peace. So we're in a series on Joshua. The book of Joshua, we're just getting started. Last week we talked about everything we know about Joshua before we get to the book of Joshua. Who is this guy, right? And go back and listen to that. You can listen to all of our messages online on our website, evangelbathurst.ca. But today we're diving into the first part of the first chapter of Joshua. And so at the end of Deuteronomy, we said last week, was really, it took place in the months or weeks leading up to Joshua taking the leadership and leading the people into the promised land. Deuteronomy is about setting Joshua up for success and setting the people of Israel up for success as they move into the promised land. And in Deuteronomy 31, Deuteronomy 31, starting in verse 7, Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Now, many of those words may sound familiar to you if you're familiar with the first chapter of Joshua, but here we find those words in Deuteronomy. Moses is speaking them in a public national assembly of Israel to hand over the torch to Joshua, who's going to be this young leader who will lead the people after Moses' death. In Deuteronomy 34, a couple chapters later, we find that Moses dies. He climbs Mount Nebo, which is on the other side of the Jordan River from Israel. He climbs Mount Nebo. God lets him see from a distance the land that the Israelites will go into. But God had told Moses, "You will not go in." Right? Joshua will lead the people. You will not go in. And so it says in Deuteronomy 34, starting in verse 5, it says, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him." God buried Moses. Isn't that interesting? "In the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord commanded Moses." So we have this transfer of authority as Moses lays his hands on Joshua. And in that moment, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of wisdom came upon Joshua to do the job that he was called to do. Then Moses climbs Mount Nebo and dies. And then in Joshua chapter 1, it starts by telling us, in verse 2, Moses, God's saying this to the people, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you," speaking to Joshua, "you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give the Israelites." And he says, "I will give you." So go into the land I'm about to give them. "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert," speaking of the in the south, the southern desert of Israel, from the desert to Lebanon, so from the south to the north, And from the great river in the east, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. So south to north, east to west, God is establishing the boundaries of Israel's land. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so God in commissioning Joshua to lead the people, he gives him some assurances. Isn't it good to have assurances when you're going into something that is that has so many unknowns? You had no idea what you're going to face and what you're going to deal with. It's good to have a few assurances, isn't it? Right? It's good to know that some things are taken care of. And so God gives some assurances to Joshua. There's three things that he says are established. The first of all is the territory that has been given. Now they're not living there yet. They haven't even crossed into the territory yet. They're on the other side of the river. But God is saying, I have given you this land. Right? So it was promised 500 years ago. It was promised to Abraham. And I'm going to fulfill that promise, and you're going to go into this land, and it is yours. He tells them the boundaries, and he gives Joshua confidence. Everywhere your feet go, I will give you that territory. Now that puts some onus on Joshua that if he stays on the other side of the river, they're not going to take any land, right? He's got to actually take some steps. Talk more about that in a couple weeks probably. But he's got to actually take some steps. But everywhere he has the promise from God, everywhere you set your feet, I will give you that land. So territory given, it's one assurance. Victory assured. It says, no one will be able to stand against you. Joshua, when you follow me and you do what I've called you to do, no one's going to be able to stand against you. I've already given you the victory. And presence promised, right? I will be with you. I'm going to be with you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Now that same verse is quoted, right, in Hebrews chapter 13 for you. Hebrews 13 verse 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. Right? So not only is that encouraging because we have that promise from God, but it also teaches us a little bit about how many of the things that we see in the Old Testament or promises that God makes to Israel have multiple layers of application. That just because God said it to someone else in some other situation and it was fulfilled in that situation doesn't mean that there's not a promise in there for you. Right? I will never leave you or forsake you. So as we live out the life that Jesus has called us to live, what has been established for you? What assurances do you have? You may have not had a physical visitation from God in your living room like Joshua did, listing the assurances that he's giving you. But folks, I want you to know today that there are there are more assurances that have been given in God's word to you than were given to Joshua. As you face whatever it is that you face, as you walk the journey that God has called you to walk, as you step in territory that God has called you to take, there are more assurances that have been given you in Christ than Joshua had when he was going into the promised land. You are forgiven and cleansed and holy by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The power of sin is overcome in your life, and there is now, therefore, no condemnation over you if you trust in Christ and walk with Him. Death is defeated, and so even if the enemy slays you, you win. The Spirit of the living God dwells in you, so greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. In this world, you're going to have some trouble, but take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus promised He is with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father every day. He doesn't take a vacation, ever interceding for you. You are loved by the Father, and He is at work in your life, and all things are being worked together for your good. All things. His divine power has given you, not might give you, not will give you, has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And so we, folks, here today in 2024, you and I are called to take some territory as well. Jesus said to His disciples when they came back from a mission trip, going out and sharing the gospel from community and village to community and village, and they came back and they said, Jesus, even the demons bowed, submitted to us in Your name. And Jesus said, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread, to walk on snakes and scorpions, and all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Right? We are called to trample on serpents and scorpions. That's poetic language for the enemy, the devil and all of his workings. We're called to go into dark places and bring the hope of Christ and to see the kingdom of Jesus established where it is not yet. Right? In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, many of you know these words by heart, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're called to go and make disciples. You know what making disciples is? It's spiritual warfare. It's bringing the kingdom where it has not gone yet. It is establishing God's rule and reign in lives and families and neighborhoods where it has not yet gone. You and I are called to take some territory. But we have assurances as we do. He's with us, right? So three times after this, God communicates the same challenge that Moses gave to Joshua back in Deuteronomy 32 that we read, right? Be strong and courageous. Three times, God gives that same challenge to Joshua. And then we probably won't have time to get to it, but at the end of the chapter, the people of God also tell Joshua, you know, be strong and courageous. So when you've got Moses telling you, God tells you three times, and the people are telling you, right? Maybe you're going, what have I gotten myself into? Right? Leaders need encouragement. But when you hear it coming at you that much, it's like, oh no, right? But no matter what the size of the challenge is, it is the size of our God that matters, right? Joshua was being encouraged. You're going to face some really difficult stuff, but it's going to be okay, right? So these three, we're going to try and do this quickly. These three times that God speaks this encouragement to Joshua. I want to talk about purpose, provision, and presence. So, first of all, verse 6, God says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Okay, so Joshua, you've got a purpose. I'm giving you a purpose. God's strength and courage will come and do come with his callings. He never sends us to do something without making the strength and anointing to do it available to us. He never asks us to do something without empowering us to do it. Right? It's interesting that that though he had provided anointing to Joshua, remember it said that when Moses laid his hands on him, the spirit of wisdom came upon Joshua, right? God had given Joshua this anointing to do what he called him to do. And there was a promise that God would have his back, but God still commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous. There were things that Joshua had to do to put himself in the mindset of strength and courage. When you get up in the morning, strength and courage, how many of you experienced, strength and courage are not automatic. Right? You don't get up in the morning and a light from heaven just falls on your head and suddenly you just feel all the strength and courage you need. Right? So God actually told Joshua, you be strong and courageous. Right? There were things that Joshua had to do to put himself in that mindset to face whatever was coming next. And I want to encourage you this morning that folks, you and I face difficult stuff in this world. We just do. There is territory to be taken every day. The enemy pushes back every day. And every day we need to get up and be strong and courageous. Put ourselves in the mindset of, that God has provided me the strength that I need to do what he's called me to do today. Oftentimes, God gives us, because he's promised he has, he gives us strength to do some things, and then we chicken out. You ever feel like, man, I know I was supposed to, but I didn't. I know that was an opportunity, but I dropped it. Right? Why do we do that? Because we don't always have the tendency to condition our hearts and minds to be strong and courageous. Right? Some of that is maybe even just understanding what strength and courage are. Right? Strength is, it's resilience. It's being malleable, flexible, perseverance. It's to keep standing. Sometimes winning is just to stay on your feet. And then when you're knocked on the ground, just to get up and stay on your feet. Sometimes that's what strength is, what it looks like. Sometimes the moments when we feel the least strong are the moments when we are walking in a strength that we don't even understand. And courage is not fearlessness. In fact, you can't even call it courage unless you're afraid. Right? Unless face something that scares you silly, and yet you face it anyways. That's called courage, right? A courageous person does not always know what to do, isn't. You know, courage doesn't look like somebody who's just proud and cocky, but it's someone who's willing to take one step in the direction of obedience to what God, they know God has asked them to do, even if they're scared and don't think they have what it takes. But just to take that one step in the direction of obedience, they do what God has called them to do, because God said it. Courage is having the stoutness of heart, the stability of heart, to not let fear stop obedience. So God says to Joshua to be strong and courageous. And then he says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Being strong and very courageous, I think God is telling Joshua, is having a mind soaked with the truths of what God says about us, about our circumstances, having our minds soaked with the truth of what God says. Cherishing the truths of God and rehearsing them in our minds and our hearts so that we know what God wants. Are we rehearsing the lies of the enemy, or are we rehearsing the truths of God? Because folks, many times, all of us can fall into the trap of rehearsing the lies of the enemy. I can't do it. I can't. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. God doesn't love me enough. This isn't going to work. This is impossible. And on the lies go. Because the last thing the enemy wants is for one of us, or 10 of us, to get in our minds that we can actually do what God has called us to do by the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ten people walking in the strength and courage of God. Truly, fully, would turn our region upside down. But we so often fall into rehearsing the lies of the enemy instead of rehearsing what God says. So God says, if you do this, if you meditate on my word, you soak your mind, you soak your heart in my word and my truth, you will be prosperous and successful. And we're not talking about prosperity gospel stuff here and name it and claim it stuff, but we will have what we need to do what God has called us to do. You know what? Oh, and last one, I know we're pushing the time here. Cookies will wait just another couple minutes. Okay? If I see a cookie monster out there, I'll let you know. But presence. Third time, God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not fear is the most repeated command in Scripture, right? Some of you have heard that before. Apparently, supposedly, I haven't counted them. Somebody did. Apparently, 365 times in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid. I don't know if that's true. They say, oh, it's one for every day. Maybe it is. I haven't counted them. But it's the most repeated command in the Scripture. You need to hear this. It doesn't mean that God's ticked at you if you get fearful. It doesn't mean that we will necessarily in this life ever be able to live completely free of fear. In fact, fear in some situations is a really good thing. Right? You meet an angry bear coming out of hibernation in the woods, you want fear to be on your side, right? You don't just stand there and say, oh, God told me not to fear. I just stay here and be lunch, you know. There are times when it's... But it means that fear is the reason why it's there so often is because fear is one of the most common human emotions, and we are meant to overcome it. The enemy, the two areas where the enemy does not want you to get a hold of, the two things he does not want you to get a hold of is overcoming fear and overcoming discouragement, because those are his two biggest traps. He does not want you and I to be successful. He does not want you and I to walk in faith and victory. And the biggest traps and schemes that he has to keep us from it is fear and discouragement. Fear and discouragement. Intimidation is one of the enemy's chief tricks. To make you feel like it's you against him and you don't stand a chance. Trials are too big, and your strength, your faith, your abilities, your experience are not enough to overcome. But it is never you against him when you walk with Jesus. The King of Glory lives on the inside of you. He has already defeated the liar and the intimidator. The one who's trying to get you to back down. And folks, at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth and below the earth must bow to the name of Jesus. Right? It's why in James it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him, and he will flee from you, because he's a liar, and he is smoke and mirrors. And when you call his bluff, and you leap over fear, and you leap over lies, and you say, you're right, I'm no match for you. Good thing I'm not alone. Good thing the King of Glory lives on the inside of me. He will flee. The thing the enemy fears the most is a follower of Christ who knows who they are. And discouragement, let's stand. And worship team, come on up. Discouragement also is one of the enemy's main traps. Discouragement, right? It's the opposite of courage. God's telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. He wants you to be strong and courageous. The enemy wants to rob your courage by discouragement, right? Disappointment, isolation, personal defeat, betrayal of friends, people around you, unanswered prayer, right? Just all these things, unanswered prayer, as if there is a thing, such a thing. But we feel sometimes like our prayer is unanswered, like God's not listening. We get discouraged. But God says, do not be discouraged, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you. He has promised you and I his presence in every situation. Amen? So I want to pray with you. And Bob's going to close the service. If you want to go eat cookies, go eat cookies. We're gonna just lead in a song of victory and worship. You can linger a little longer if you want. You can eat some cookies. But God, I thank you. Thank you today for every person here in this room, every person watching this online, that God, you have a race marked out for them, that step by step you have called them to walk in some territory, to impact their workplace, to impact some friend groups, to impact their hobby groups, to impact their neighborhoods and their families. God, sometimes we can be really intimidated by the calling that we have on our lives. And yet you've promised to be with us. You've promised that we do have everything that we need. God, I pray for those here today that have been paralyzed by fear or by discouragement, that today there would be a shift in their hearts and a shift in the atmosphere of their lives. There would be a determination to get up in the morning and be strong and courageous, to do something about putting their mindset in a place of strength and courage. Because God, you have called us to victory. And you have won the victory. God, I pray that the intimidation of the enemy would be stomped on in Jesus' name. And that you would enable and strengthen your people to walk in strength and anointing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Stand in the power of the Lord. Today, if you feel you need some prayer, we would invite you to come. As the pastor mentioned, members of the Breakthrough team will be here to minister. And yes, remember the cookies. Have yourself a great week. God bless you.
I search the world. It couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures to fade, never enough. You came along, put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied. Here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I'm not a my weakness, failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all. You still call me friend. The God of the mountain, the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. Turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. Turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Better than you, Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Nothing is better.